Well, thank you, June. Now, the scripture tells us that the gospel has been passed down to us, and the things that are of first importance is that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, that he was buried, and that he was raised the third day according to the scripture. You can't get anything more important than to talk about the cross. God forbid that we should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, before we move on to the next part of our service and being prepared to partake of the Lord's Supper, I want to draw your attention to your bulletin. If you have a bulletin in the little tear-off flap, there's a couple of quotations. One first one from the Baptist Faith and Message, and the second one from the Heidelberg Catechism. These would be good to think about. In fact, I'm going to mention a couple of confessions and catechisms during the message. But the first one there from the Baptist Faith and Message, it kind of gives just a little definition of the Lord's Supper. It's what we believe as Baptists. Now, we believe more than this, but this is, you know, basically as a Southern Baptist, this is what we believe about the Lord's Supper. But I would like this, a question and answer after that from the Heidelberg. I would just like to read this. This is the very first question in the Heidelberg Catechism. And it asks this question: what is your only comfort in life and in death? I mean, what a question to ask. I mean, that's a question we ought to be asking each other in our families, you know, and we greet one another or whatever. You know, what is your only comfort in life and in death? And the answer is that I am not my own, but belong body and soul in life and in death to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. And he has fully paid for all my sins with his precious blood and has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. He also watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation. I just think that's just such a tremendous question and answer, and something that we ought to often meditate on. What is our only comfort in life and in death? And we get the great privilege today of partaking in the Lord's Supper. And our text of Scripture that I'm going to read is in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And I'm going to read verses 23 to 26. We're not in the book of Ephesians today. Lord willing, we'll be back in Ephesians next week. But we're going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 23. Also, there's no notes provided, and that way it keeps you on edge. You don't know exactly when we're going to be over, but we're going to end with the celebration, getting in our participation of the Lord's Supper. But if you have 1 Corinthians chapter 11 before you, and if you're willing and able, I do ask you to stand for the public reading of God's holy, inspired, inerrant word that we have here from the pen of the apostle from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and I'll begin reading in verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this day, the Lord's day, that we might come here and partake of your supper, the Lord's supper. We pray that by the work of your Spirit, you might prepare our hearts that we might discern the body of our Lord Jesus, who was broken for us, and his body, the church, whom you have brought together to make us one in your Son. And Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son, our only Savior. And in his name I pray, amen. And you may be seated. Well, I think it is very fitting that for our first Lord's Day of this year, 2024, that we also have it to be a Lord's Supper Day, a Lord's Supper Sunday. Now, our tradition here at Classen Boulevard is that we observe six times in the year the Lord's Supper. The Bible doesn't dictate how many times a year or how often we ought to do it, observe the Lord's Supper. It just says as often as you do it. And so different churches have different traditions. And our tradition here is that six times a year, every other month, we observe the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. And the Lord's table is an essential element in the life of the local church. It is essential. It is not a it's not a take it or leave it situation. It is essential. In fact, Protestant churches have generally agreed that there are at least two factors that must be in place, that must be present, before a congregation is to be considered a true church. That is for a group of believers that meets together. If they're to be really considered a genuine church, there are two elements that must be in place. The first one is the right preaching of the word. You have to have the right preaching of the word for there to be a church. And also, secondly, you have to have the right use of the sacraments. These two are a bare minimum for a church to be considered a true church: the right preaching of the word and the right use of the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper. In fact, I would say that you can't be a church if the Lord's Supper is omitted or if the Lord's Supper is neglected. Even more than that, you can't be a church member, or at least a member in good standing, if the Lord's Supper is omitted by that person or neglected by that person. Because the Lord's Supper is essential for our life as believers in the local church. This ordinance is not optional for the Christian, because Christ, the Lord of the church, our Savior, has ordered us to observe it. He's the one that said, when he initially initiated this institution, "Do this in remembrance of me." Our Lord has commanded that we observe this ordinance. But the faithful observance of this ordinance of the sacred meal, it is a duty, for sure. It is a duty we are required to do, but it is more than a duty. You might say it is a delightful duty. You could say that this supper is, in fact, it is a holiday. It is a celebration where the believer actually gets to have a meal and to taste some good stuff, and we get to actually taste the gospel. So much of our worship is not tangible. We are a faith given to the hearing of words, and when the word is preached, we get to hear the gospel, and it builds our faith. We are not a visible faith, except with the two sacraments and the two ordinances. And in the supper, we get to taste the gospel. We get to do something more than just hear the gospel. We get to taste the gospel. And as we taste the gospel, that too builds our faith. As we hear the gospel and as we taste the gospel. Psalm 34 and verse 8 says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good, and blessed are all those that take refuge in Him." It is such a privilege and a celebration that we get to come today and hear the gospel as well as taste the gospel. So before we partake and as we prepare ourselves today, we're going to think a little bit of this supper as a sanctioned celebration. It is both. It is sanctioned, and it is a celebration. And so, first of all, a sanctioned celebration. And the emphasis is on the sanctioned part. Now, when something is sanctioned, we say that it's official. It is something that has been approved or celebrated in the boxing world or whatever. You have sanctioned fights, and then you have some that are, you know, they're not approved. They're not official. And so we want some things that are sanctioned and are approved and are certified to be the original. You know, we are to be on our guard against fakes and knockoffs in the world that aren't sanctioned. You know, a lot of things might have a label on it, but that doesn't guarantee that it is legit. Things need to be sanctioned, and this meal is sanctioned. Now, as we enter into this new year of 2024, we might bristle a little bit because this is an election year and we're going to be inundated with political ads. And of all the political ads that we're going to see, some of them, we're going to hear a candidate say, you know, this is so-and-so and I approve this message. It's like, you know, we might hear a lot of different ads, but some of them, the candidate is going to say, now this is the message that I approve. You may hear a bunch of different messages of what they say I believe or stand for, but I approve this message. And they say that because it distinguishes it, a sanctioned message distinguishes it from messages that are unapproved or from outside entities. It is certified. It is official. It is an approved message. And when we come to this supper today, it is as if the Lord of the church, Jesus Christ Himself, says of His supper, I approve this message. That the message that is in the meal is approved and sanctioned and certified by the Lord of the meal. He says, I approve this message. This is an official message from the Messiah. The supper is official, but it is also, we call it, you know, in Baptist circles, we call it an ordinance. And we call it an ordinance because the Lord of the church has ordered us to do it. Again, it is a command. We have city ordinances or city laws. Well, there are church ordinances. There are church laws. There are certain things that the Lord of the church has ordered that we do. And this supper is one of them. In fact, we've just read in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 24, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Again, this is not a negative command. God has given us several negative commands. Thou shalt not. There are negative laws in the church. But this is a positive law. This is something that our Lord has commanded us to do. It is a positive order and command from the head of the church. And this sanctioned ordinance is not optional for the believer. Its observance is obligatory. Again, here our tradition, we do it six times a year, but we ought to be involved and participating in our lives in observing the Lord's Supper. Do you know that a Christian cannot pick and choose whether or not he participates in the Lord's Supper any more than he can pick and choose whether to participate in baptism? I mean, this is not a take it or leave it situation. He has ordered. He says, do this in remembrance of me. When the church comes together, we're to give ourselves to the apostles' doctrine, we're to give ourselves to prayer, we're to give ourselves to fellowship, and we are to give ourselves to the breaking of bread and to the observance of the Lord's Supper. It is a matter of obedience that we observe the Lord's Supper. Our Lord has ordered it, it is sanctioned, and we must obey it, we must observe it. In fact, do you know that the Lord's Supper is an official, sanctioned Christian holiday? In fact, it is the sanctioned holiday along with the Lord's Day. To put it another way, do you know that there are no official Christian holidays except for the Lord's Day and the Lord's Supper? Those are the sanctioned holidays that our Lord has ordered us to observe. The Lord's Day and the Lord's Supper. Jesus said of His Supper, do this in remembrance of me. He says, you want to get together and you want to have a party and you want to remember me? He says, this is what you're to do and this is how you are to go about celebrating me and remembering me. You know, He didn't say that we are to remember Him by way of trees and presents or by way of bunnies and eggs and chocolates. No, He said we are to remember Him by way of bread and wine. He says you get broken bread and you get the cup of wine and you do this in remembrance of me. This is the sanctioned celebration. This is what He says we're to be involved in. If you want to celebrate me, He says, then you do this in remembrance of me. And do you know that we ought to be more eager to observe the official sanctioned celebration of the Lord's Supper than to observe the ones that are unofficial and unsanctioned and those ones that are not certified by the Lord of the church? And there's a lot of those out there, and people are so eager to celebrate those, but this is the one. He says, if you want to celebrate me, come on my day and observe my supper. In fact, He says in Deuteronomy 12 and verse 32, whatever I command you, you shall be careful to do, and you shall not add to it, nor take away from it. This is the ordinance. This is the order from the Lord of the church in how we are to remember Him. And this sanctioned supper is really much, you know, it's kind of like a holiday, but it works much like an anniversary for the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a repeated reminder during certain times of the year, a repeated reminder of a bond and of an oath. Now, in Baptist circles, we like to call it an ordinance, as I already mentioned, but there's also the term sacrament. Sometimes we shy away from that because it has been misused, but it's a good word. And sacrament comes from a Latin word meaning a sacred oath. That's what the sacrament is. It is a sacred oath. It was specifically used, this word, as a sacred oath of allegiance by a soldier. A soldier would take a sacrament and he would give his sacred oath of allegiance for the duty that he was involved in. It was his pledge of allegiance, reminding him where his loyalties lie. And so he would take a sacrament, and it would be a sacred oath. And do you know that as believers in the Lord Jesus, that this meal reminds us of our bond to the Lord Jesus Christ and of our allegiance to the Lord Jesus Christ? It is His sanctioned sacrament. This is the oath, this is the right that we are to participate in, reminding us of our bond to Him and of our allegiance to Him. In fact, in the Westminster Confession of Faith, speaking of the sacraments, it says part of the reason is to put a visible difference between those who belong to the church and the rest of the world. This is what the sacraments do, the sacred oath. It separates out those who belong to the church and those who belong to the world. And solemnly to engage them in the service of God in Christ according to His Word. This is a sacrament. It reminds us of our sacred oath and bond to the Lord Jesus Christ. In the 1689 Baptist Confession of Faith, it says of the ordinance and the sacrament that it is a bond and a pledge of our communion to Christ and each other. When we come to this table and this supper and we have the elements, we're reminded it is sanctioned. This is what our Lord has certified we're to be engaged in. This is the approved manner that we are to remember Him. And we remember not just Him and His body, but we're to remember the body of Christ. We're to discern the body and our bond to Christ and our bond to each other. And our oath of allegiance to Christ. And our oath of allegiance to each other. It is our sacred sacrament. A holiday, an anniversary that is set in stone that we are reminded of the certified, sanctioned, approved method that we are to go about remembering our Lord Jesus Christ. And of our connection to Him. And of our allegiance to Him and to each other. So this is a sanctioned celebration. But it's not just sanctioned, it's a sanctioned celebration. You know, I wanted to emphasize the sanction part, but now let's emphasize the celebration part, because this is a sanctioned celebration. The supper is official. It is obligatory. It's not a take it or leave it thing. It is our duty, but it is a delightful duty. It is obligatory, but it is also celebratory. When we come to this meal as the redeemed of the Lord Jesus Christ, there ought to be a little excitement in the air that we get to celebrate and fellowship with our Lord around His table and with His people. This meal is not just to be a boring religious ritual and rite. Yes, it's sanctioned, but it is a celebration. This is the official holiday of the church. When the local church meets together to celebrate the Lord's Supper, this is our holiday to remember the Lord Jesus Christ. This is our feast. Just like in the Old Testament, they had certain feasts, certain holidays throughout the year that they had to go to. But when they went to it, it was a week-long party. I mean, this is our feast. This is our festival. This is our celebration of salvation. Now, when we look at the elements of this meal, it's just like, man, there's really not a lot there, is there? You know, it's just a small little piece of broken bread and a small cup of the fruit of the vine. And we do celebrate with a meager meal. But this meal has a mighty message. A mighty message that when we come and we get to taste the gospel, that we are reminded of the salvation that our Lord has earned for us. One of the things that we celebrate in this is we celebrate a victory. You know, our society loves to celebrate sports victories, and those are short-lived. Well, we come here to celebrate a victory that is not a short-lived, but will live throughout eternity. And our Savior won a victory for us. My sin makes me a loser. My sin makes me an eternal loser. But my Savior, God, became man, and He came and He won a victory for me that we can celebrate. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. We come here today to celebrate a victory won by our victorious Savior. He said upon the tree, "It is finished. Game over. Victory won." And this supper reminds us of the victory that He won for us. We also celebrate a substitution. As we come and we look at the elements, a piece of bread and the cup, and we are reminded that it is representative of and reminds us of the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one pictured here because He is our salvation. And He saved us by being our substitute. You see, it was His body for our body and His blood for our blood. 2 Corinthians 5:21, one of my favorite verses and the encapsulates of the gospel, says that God made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might be made the very righteousness of God. God made Him, Christ, who knew no sin, the sinless Son of God, He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, to where He took upon all of our sin upon Himself. He substituted Himself for us, and He did that so that in Him we might be made the very righteousness of God. That He takes our sin and He gives us His righteousness. I mean, what a great transaction that happens by way of faith. That He is our substitute. And when I look at the bread and the wine, the representative of the body and the blood, I am reminded that He took my place. When our Lord instituted this supper, it was on the night of the Passover meal. And our Lord changed or instituted the Passover meal to become the Lord's Supper meal. And that is because Jesus Christ is our Passover lamb. He is the one that was slaughtered and sacrificed in our place so that we might live. And we remember today and we celebrate today that we have a victory in Christ because He substituted Himself for us and in our place. In Luke 22, in Luke's account of when our Lord instituted this meal, Luke 22:15, Jesus said, and He said to them, "I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." Again, he eagerly desired. It was His strong desire to eat this meal with them, to have the Passover with Him. It was an obligatory, it was an obligation that they do it, but He says, "I want to do it," but He says, "I want to do it before I suffer." Because this meal shows forth His suffering, But it also shows forth that by His suffering is how we gain salvation. It reminds us of this. He suffered so we could celebrate. You remember that in the garden he prayed, "Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but Your will be done." He says, "Father, if the only way that I can save him and love him is I drink this bitter cup, then I'm going to drink it." And do you know he drank the bitter cup of God's wrath down to its very bitter dregs so that we could enjoy the sweet cup of God's blessing and salvation. He drank the cup of God's wrath so that we could drink the cup of God's blessing. And so today we get to tangibly taste the gospel and to taste and see that the Lord, He is good, and blessed are all those who take refuge in Him as we celebrate His substitution in place of us. And so we get to celebrate salvation today, that God has saved us from our sin, that God has saved us from ourselves, that God has saved us from the wrath to come, that He has saved us from the fires of hell itself because Jesus endured a hell for us. That God has saved us from what we justly deserve and has given us what Jesus justly deserved. We get His righteousness, we get His blessedness because He took our sin and He took our curse. What a holiday today that we get to celebrate forgiveness of sins. That I get to celebrate that though I am filthy and vile, yet I can be forgiven by the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ. That though I have earned eternal death by my sins in thought, word, and deed, that God has graciously given me eternal life in the life and the death and the resurrection of His eternal Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We get to celebrate the salvation of our Lord. And as we do it, this supper is a celebration, but it's a celebration that comes with some anticipation. In 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 26, it says, "As often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." That this is a perpetual meal that we are to observe until the end of time, because at the end of time, there's going to come another meal. There's going to come another feast, another celebration, another holiday. And we eat this meal in anticipating eating a meal with Him in the day that is yet to come. Back in that passage in Luke 22, listen to what Jesus says in verses 15 and following. And he said to them, "I've earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say I shall never again eat it until it was fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And when he had taken the cup and given thanks, he said, "Take this and share it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes." He says, I'm doing this with you now, but I'm going to do it again with you then. In fact, in verse 30 of this same chapter, he says that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. He says we get to eat and drink with him in the kingdom. Can I tell you, this meal reminds us that there is a family meal that is coming. There is a family reunion. There is an eternal holiday, a sanctioned eternal day. A day when we will get to see Him as He is, as children of God, redeemed by His blood. We will get to see Him and eat with Him and feast not only with Him, but to feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the redeemed from all time. This is a holiday that points to a greater holiday that is yet to come. And so we should rejoice today at this sanctioned celebration. We get to eat and we get to enjoy. In our bulletin, there's written from the Heidelberg Catechism, question 1, "What is your only hope in life and death?" Let me read what it says of the Lord's Supper. I I love this too. The question is, how does the Lord's Supper remind you and assure you that you share in Christ one sacrifice on the cross and that you share in all of His gifts? And it gives this answer. In this way, Christ has commanded me and all believers to eat this broken bread and to drink this cup. With this command, He gave this promise. First, as surely as I see with my eyes the bread of the Lord broken for me and the cup given to me, so surely His body was offered and broken for me and His blood poured out for me on the cross. And secondly, as surely as I receive and taste with my mouth the bread and the cup of the Lord, so surely He nourishes and refreshes my soul for eternal life with His crucified body and poured out blood. I just love the tangible expression of that. As surely as we can see it before us, so it is to build our faith that we are to reminded that so surely He died for us. And as so surely as we can taste it in our mouths, we are reminded that so surely I am united with Him and I can taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, it is a tangible salvation that He has given us today. And so let me ask the deacons to come up and to uncover the elements that are here at the front. And just before we partake, just to give a couple of reminders that we do here at Klassen observe an open communion. That is, you do not have to be a member of this particular local church to partake of this meal. It is open, but it is open only to believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, those who have followed Him in Christian baptism, if you are hoping and trusting in the Lord, then this meal is open for you. But we do put a fence around the table and say, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ today, if you are trusting in yourself or in something else other than the Lord Jesus Christ, then this meal is not for you. This is a family meal. It is for the church of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But in saying that, there is an invitation embedded in this meal that God's salvation is offered to you. The Lord Jesus Christ it's almost as that He's right there before you. Almost as though you could reach out by faith and just grab Him and have salvation. And you know that if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. If by faith you take His body and if by faith you embrace His blood, then you too will be saved. But there's another fence around this, even for believers, even though that we are obligated to observe this. We are not obligated to partake of it every time. We are to examine ourselves before we eat of this meal, lest we eat in an unworthy manner. And so there are sometimes even a believer may not partake of these elements. Maybe there's something not right between you and the Lord or between you and a fellow believer. And so you need to examine yourself and maybe take a time for confession. You need to be able to discern the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, as well as the whole body of the church, that we are united to Christ in His great work of salvation. But this meal is a celebration, and if you are a redeemed sinner, then we get to eat and we get to enjoy. So here in just a moment, I'm going to ask Brother Bob to ask a word of a blessing over the elements. And then you can come and you can come up. There's some in the front as well as there's some in the back, and you can come and get the bread, get the cup, go back to your seat, and then I will cue us, and then we can all eat at the same time. So one of the deacons or Bob, or could one of y'all offer a word of prayer? of blessing for the bread and the cup before we partake. You may come and gather the elements either in the front here or in the back, that there are some. Man of Sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah. What a Savior, bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah, what a Savior, guilty, vile, and helpless we, spotless Lamb of God was he. Full atonement can it be? Hallelujah, what a Savior. Lifted up was he to die. It is finished was his cry. Now in heaven exalted high. Hallelujah, what a Savior. And when he comes, our glorious King, all his ransomed home to bring, then anew this song we'll sing. Hallelujah, what a Savior. And as we look upon the representation of our Savior's body in this piece of bread, we are reminded that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. That God became flesh and dwelt among us. And that in his flesh, he lived perfectly under God's law, never sinned one time in thought, word, and deed. His body was pure. But his pure and perfect body was broken for us. That he bore our own sins in his body on the tree. That his body was ripped so that we might be redeemed. So take a moment and pray and thank him and celebrate in him, and then I will cue us and we can eat of the bread together. And he took the bread and he broke it and he gave it to them and he says, "This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Our Father, we thank you for sending your Son to be made like us so that he might redeem us. And we thank you and anticipate that great day where we will see the great God-man Jesus Christ himself in the flesh. And we thank you for his body. Amen. Well, after the bread, they took the cup. We are reminded by this a small cup of the fruit of the vine that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. The scripture says the life of the creature is in the blood. And Christ poured out his life so that he might give us eternal life. And it was not with perishable things of silver and gold that he redeemed us from our empty way of life, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without spot or blemish. So again, take a moment, confess, pray, give him thanks for the shedding of his blood in your behalf. And so let's pray, and then after a moment I will cue us and we can drink together. And he took the cup and gave it to them, and he said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Our Father, we again thank you for the gift of your Son, who poured out his life so that we might live. And Lord, by the power of your Spirit, might his life be evident in us today and in all of our days, being reminded of the sacred oath and the sacred relationship that we have with you, our Savior. And we praise you. Amen. Well, as we have observed this religious rite, this tradition that has been passed down to us from the Lord ourself, Lord himself, we also have another tradition, a tradition that comes from Scripture in general, because after they had the Lord's Supper, it says that they sang a hymn. They sang a hymn as they went out. Now, it didn't say what hymn that they sang, but we're going to sing "Blessed Be the Tie That Binds." And so if you would, why don't you stand and we will sing the first verse of that hymn as we are dismissed with this hymn of the faith.
Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love, the fellowship
always good to end with an amen or an amen. And you are dismissed, and we'll be back tonight at 6 o'clock talking about how to read your Bible from left to right.